Okay, we're going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we're basically going to go through it step by step and just sort of expand a little bit on it. Okay, so now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." God doesn't want us to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. He wants us to understand them. And actually, when it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," it's concerning the spirituals. So Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, telling them they operated in the spiritual gifts. He said, "You come behind in no gifts." So they were flowing in the spiritual gifts. Unfortunately, they didn't quite know how to operate them properly, and they were using the wrong motives for operating a lot of them. And he was trying to bring everything back into a perfect alignment with the Holy Spirit, trying to explain to them all the bits and pieces that they didn't quite understand, but they were operating in the spiritual realm through these spiritual gifts. Okay, he says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Therefore, or because of this, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." So what he's saying here is that no man can curse Jesus through any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No man can stand up and say, "I have a revelation, Jesus Christ is not the Christ." Or speaking in tongues, you're speaking blasphemous words. It's not true. He said, by the Spirit, he said, "Have you to know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as they were dumb?" They didn't have any speaking. Had lumps of wood carved out and stuck on the corner of in your living room, and you put little flowers and bits of food out for them, and they really didn't know that you were doing it because they were dumb idols, lumps of wood. In the Bible it says, it's quite funny, so you get a tree, you cut it down, and you carve out an idol, and you use the wood for a fire, the leftover wood. Which part of the wood was the idol and which part was the wood that you burnt? So, it says here, "Therefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit or the Holy Ghost." You cannot say Jesus is your Lord except you have the Holy Ghost. We know because in Acts there was the seven sons of Sceva. They tried to cast out a devil out of a man. He said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you?" When you start operating in the spiritual realm, trying to heal people, you can't say in the name of Jesus if he's not your Lord. Okay, you can't speak under the influence of the Holy Ghost unless Jesus is your Lord. No one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, in verse 4, "Now there are diversity or difference of gifts, but the same Spirit, one Spirit. And there are differences of administration, the way they operate, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all." It's interesting that it says, first the Spirit, then Lord, then God. It operates through the full Godhead body, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, number 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit within, or withal." So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So every person can operate in the spiritual gifts. Some operate in a few, some operate in a lot, some operate in one or two. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, as the Spirit of God wills. He dishes out the spiritual gifts at the specific time. You may operate in a gift of prophecy in a church, and then the Lord will move over to another person and operate a gift of prophecy in that person. You may operate, He may give you the gift of healing at the particular time. It's a gift, right? And then He may operate through you a gift of prophecy. It's the Spirit that operates, that He divides. He says, oh, I'll move on you, I'll move on this person, I'll move on that person. Okay, the only gift that you can operate anytime, at any time you want, 24/7 if you want, is speaking in tongues for edification. It is the prayer language that everybody, that the Lord gives you, gives everybody. I sort of like to think it this way. If you're a refugee and you went into another country, and that country, the government said, look, you come into this country uneducated, unable to speak the language, without a job, unable to look after yourself, we're going to give you $5,000. And with that $5,000, you can either go and spend it and go to Las Vegas and put it in the machines. You can either spend it on lots of ice cream, or you can spend it on yourself, educating yourself, getting yourself a job, getting yourself some clothes and a place to live, and then being productive for our country. It's up to you. But let every man understand that what he sows to, he will reap. So, you get the Holy Ghost, you get the gift of speaking in tongues, comes of every infilling of the Holy Spirit. You get it and you don't speak in tongues, you don't pray in tongues, you don't build yourself up, and you become spiritually lean. And other people in the church have to look after you, they have to minister to you, they have to pray for you, they have to pull you out of the ditch every time you fall in. But then there are others who actually, with this free gift of speaking in tongues, which is given to every single spirit-filled person, they get that gift and they minister it to themselves. They pastor it. They pray in tongues. And they pray and they build themselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And they clothe themselves in righteousness. And they build a wonderful tabernacle for the Lord to dwell in. And they receive job from the Lord of what their ministry is. And they work out their ministry. They walk it out. And they can become productive members of the body of Christ. So that's what that is for. That's just to... You need to pastor your gifts. But each person has the gift of speaking in tongues, if so be they have got the Holy Spirit. Okay, now we'll go down to we'll go back to 9. It says, to another faith, to another the gift of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, when you're out and about on the street, it's different to being in the church. When it comes to operating the gifts, you might operate the gifts, the 9 voice gifts, they call them in the church, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. They're the 9 gifts in the church. When you're out on the street, You might operate in the gift, the word of knowledge, on the word of wisdom. You'd be down the street talking to somebody and all of a sudden the Lord will give you a word of knowledge about that person or that situation. The Lord will say to you, pray for that person's arm. And you'll say, listen, excuse me, is there something wrong with your arm? And they'll say, yes. And they say, and then the Lord might even give you another word of knowledge. And you'll say, you know, you hurt that in a football accident 3 years ago. And you'll say to him, you know, you hurt that in a football accident 3 years ago. And he'll go, wow, how did you know that? Say, the Lord told me. A person will get a confirmation inside themselves. They'll get a check in their spirit, in their unregenerated, unborn again spirit. And God will say, this is me. God will use that word of knowledge to bridge the gap so that he can get through to that person that God exists, that he actually is real. You know, 95% of the time I'll say to someone, do you want me to pray for you? And they'll say, yes. Because they're so gobsmacked and awestruck that God is actually real. And that's where the kingdom of God, that's where the rubber touches the road. That's where the kingdom of God works in people's lives. So you're out on the street and you need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, the word of knowledge is... Everybody can operate in it. I can't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to operate in the word of knowledge right now. It doesn't work like that. As I'm walking down the street, as I'm anywhere, and I'm talking to people or I'm looking at people, the Holy Spirit is the one that divides all the gifts. And because I'm in a certain ministry as an evangelist, that word of knowledge operates a lot more frequently. So I'm out in the street and I'm scanning and I'm just waiting and the Holy Spirit says, that person there, I go up to him and I said, I'll pick on one. I had a police officer. He's walking down the street. He's all loaded up. He's got his gun. He's got all these bits and pieces all over his belt. And I stopped him. I said, boy, you're really loaded up there. And he said, yeah. Now, I didn't know what was going on for a moment. I knew that the Lord wanted me to speak to him. It's a bit difficult if you walk up to someone and say, oh, hello, God wants me to speak to you, especially to a police officer. You might end up in jail or up against the wall doing a drug test. But I said to him about his belt, and he said, yes, yes. And I said, I evangelize on the street. I go out preaching the gospel to people. I don't know what I said, something like that. And within 3 minutes, I knew he was a Christian. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He spoke in tongues. I knew that he'd been spirit-filled for 2 years. He had tattoos all up his you could see from his shirt. I'll make idle chit-chat for a minute at the most, maybe 30 seconds, and the Holy Spirit starts downloading the information. And then I start talking to them, and the doors open up. And within 2 minutes or 3 minutes, I'm talking to him about the Lord and telling him that God has told me to tell him this, this, and this. Because the Lord told me he's spirit-filled. And then I was able to operate on a spiritual level with him. And if he wasn't spirit-filled, the Lord would tell me something else. But I remember talking to him, and within about 8 minutes of talking to him, I'm praying for him. I've got my arm on this policeman's shoulder in the main street, praying for him and activating the spiritual gifts in his life. That's what I do. So I'm walking down the street, and I see this person. And I said, I say to them, hello, and they'll just look at you, and you just know that the Lord, they'll just stand there for 10 minutes. They just won't walk away. You know that the Lord wants you to minister to them. Sometimes, you know, I had a job once. I took a job as a window cleaner. I was cleaning the shops, the front windows of the shops, just so that I could get out to people. I'd be doing the windows, and as they walk past, the Lord would say, that person, no, don't worry about that person. And they would just stand there and just stand there watching me. They wouldn't leave. I say, what do you want? And they say, oh, I got this wrong with me. And they start telling you and they say, nah, that's okay, I'm a Christian. And you just tell them a few quick testimonies. You know, take 20 seconds and say, would you like me to pray for you? And they go, yes. Put your hand on their shoulder and they're healed. Or they're zapped out of their brain. They walk away, you get their number, ring them up a week later and they say, I could hardly walk home. I want to know more about this God you've got. That's walking in the power and demonstration of God. That's using the Holy Spirit rather than going out and just preaching them a whole lot of natural stuff to try and get them in. Come to a cake stand or come to a night we're going to have sing-song. No, it works, but it's hard yakka. It's hard work. It's working in the flesh to build the kingdom of God. It's hard work. It's working. I know one pastor said to me, look, if we knock on 1,000 doors, we'll get 20 people in the Lord. We must. So he's working on numbers. I said, no, I think it's much better if you just get down and pray for 3-4 hours. And the Lord will send you to those 20 doors straight away. And that's working with relationship, whereas the pastor wants to work with formula. Formula is for people who do not walk in the spiritual realm. Relationship is hitting the target every time without effort. Jesus said, take my yoke, it's easy. If you knock on 10,000 doors, that's hard. Take my yoke, it's easy. 10,000 doors might take 6 months. Praying on your knees for 4 hours, for maybe a week, or a couple of days, or maybe just 4 hours, will get you 10 or 20 people or 20 houses. My wife was praying one morning. We went out knocking on doors. And she knocked on the first door. They just pulled up the car and said, this is it. This is where we go. Went to the house, knocked on the door, and the lady said, I've been praying on my knees for someone to tell me about Jesus today. That's walking in relationship. Walking in formula is knocking on every street door and eventually getting to that lady 6 months later. That's walking with formula. And you can apply that to all your life in the Lord. You can apply formula and do the hard work, or you can take his yoke upon you, for it is easy, right? It's easy. And you walk by relationship with God. And you get 100 more things done at less energy. And that's operating in the gifts. Now, when it comes to prophecy, you can prophesy in the church, or you can start prophesying into a person's life when you're on the street. The Holy Spirit will move upon you and just start speaking things over them, and they'll just know that what you're saying is the truth, because the Holy Spirit will give them a confirmation, a check, will give them a witness inside themselves. And they'll know. And then if we go to, we'll go to verse 11, it says, but all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Very interesting. The Lord knows your talents. He knows your abilities. He knows how to utilize your personality. And the Holy Spirit works those gifts around your personality, your ability, until he can mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be. Then he'll start adding more gifts. But the first gift that you will get is speaking in tongues. It's a sign. Now, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, speaking in tongues is a gift. But in Mark 16, verse 15, it is a sign. So it's a sign and it's a gift. A lot of people say, oh, no, speaking in tongues is just a gift. No, it's a sign and a gift. It's a sign that you've received the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's a gift operational. It operates the gift of tongues. It operates through tongues for edification, tongues for interpretation, and tongues for intercession. And there's another type of tongue for speaking another different language. Very, very rare. We won't go into that too much. I don't want to get bogged down with that. Okay, we go to verse 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So if you seek the Lord for the gifts, it says, seek earnestly for the spiritual gifts, and God will divide them to you separately as he wills, because he knows how to diverse, how to actually move all the gifts around in the body so that everybody gets a go. Everybody gets an opportunity at operating. And it says in 25, it says that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Yeah, it talks about God in 24. We should have started at 24. It says, no, we'll go 23. It says, and these members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncommonly parts, or our not looking good parts, have more abundant comeliness. So that God, it says, for our our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack. So you'll find little Miss Wallflower person who sits doing nothing, operates and flows in marvelous gifts of prophecy. You'll find that, I mean, it's not always the case, but you'll find that someone who's got a very open, very big personality doesn't flow in big operational gifts. It seems to be that God doesn't, he doesn't want people who are stars personality-wise. He doesn't give the gifts to them. He gives them to everybody so that everybody is equal. So that there's nobody says, look at me. And so there are people who are very quiet. They're brought up to a level that everybody, and those who have a much stronger personality are brought lower, so that everybody is equal, so that the glory goes to Jesus and not to the individuals in the church. And that's what Paul was trying to get across to the Corinthians, because they were operating in, look at me, instead of look at Jesus. So Paul goes through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and explains that. And then he goes through 13 and explains that if you really want to hum in the gifts, you really want the gifts to really flow wonderfully, if you really want to fulfill the will of God, then operate in love. And he shows how to activate love, which will bring the gifts to their flourishing, to their flowering. Okay. And in AR 28, it says, and God has set some in the church. So he set some in the body. He set everybody in the body with these gifts. And then in the church, and God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Diversity of tongues. Do you know there's a ministry? He set ministries in the church, right? He set them in the church. There's the ministry of tongues. What would that be? That would be intercessors. People who are at home, who are not running around saying, look at me, look at me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with using a flamboyant gift, but if you've got a ministry where you're not operating so much at home, at church, but at home you're on your knees for hours and hours interceding for other people, no one's going to see it. It's not an outward gift. But God will pull everybody into the ministry that he sees fit. And he'll give you the grace to operate in that. He'll give you what you need. If he's going to turn you into an evangelist, if he's going to turn you into an apostle or a teacher, or working of miracles, or gifts of healing, or helps and governments, then he's going to formulate the exact type of gifts which are going to make your calling flower. It's a matter of pastoring the gifts, earnestly seeking for the gifts, and earnestly pastoring the gift, the calling that God gives you. So, with tongues in particular, there are people at home praying in tongues for hours and hours, interceding for people, for the church, for individuals, for nations. And those people have just as important as the apostles, pastors, all of those who get out and who actually are seen by people. So we'll just leave it there. But what I will say is, if you continue on to read into chapter 13 and then into 14, you'll get an overall understanding of how the gifts work, how they work in your life, and how you can operate in the gifts. Every single Christian has been called to operate in the gifts. The Bible says to seek to prophesy. The reason that it's not talking so much about a person just standing up and prophesying under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy entails speaking the inspired works or inspired words of God, inspired thoughts of God. You know, prophecy comes when a pastor stands up and gives a talk, he's prophesying. When you're talking in fellowship to your brothers and sisters and the Lord, and you start getting inspired and you're talking to them, you're prophesying. When you're telling someone about a revelation that God has given you about a certain thing in the Bible, you're prophesying. When you're operating word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you're prophesying. All different variations, all different types, different diversities of prophesying, but they all come under the umbrella of prophetics. When you're out there laying hands on sick people and pulling them out of wheelchairs, you're operating under the umbrella of evangelism. When you're operating in governments and helps are interesting. It's not going and digging a hole in the church yard or laying cement on the path at the church. That's not helps. That's not helps at all. Helps. It's talking about helping the body of Christ financially. We can go into that a lot later. And government's about organization. So, you know, I know a guy who was collecting soft drink cans. And he thought he had the ministry of collecting soft drink cans. No, he didn't. So we'll go into that a little bit later anyway. So we'll just leave that there.